encouragement to us. Because the truth is, in your workplace, you're rubbing shoulders with people that are going through the same things that we're all going through. Good days, bad days, hardships. And some of them have someone to talk to, and a lot of them don't have anybody to talk to. And so God has you at your cubicle, at your workspace, divinely, so that you can be a light. And so are we doing that? Are we living that out? 2 years ago, God took me to Marketplace Chaplains. Never heard of Marketplace Chaplains before, and there's a whole story behind it, but, you know, long story short, they had an account here at Miller Fabrication Solutions, which is the really long title for Miller Welding, okay? And so started a job with them. And basically, you know, for the last 2 years, every Thursday, I show up. I feel like Mr. Rogers in my van. I change from my nice shoes to put my steel-toed shoes on. I really do feel like Mr. Rogers. And then for the next number of hours, I walk through the plant and talk to people. From the most entry-level grinder, janitor, the whole way up to the president of the company. I can talk to anybody and everybody. And you know, one of the things I find, because what a chaplain mostly does is listen, ask questions and listen. You know what I find? Some of the people in there are the most ungodly people. Some of them are very godly people. But you know what? Every one of them have the same things going on in their life. And that's who God wants us to live out our faith with. It's what Joseph is doing here. He brings in, he says, you know what? God is the one who can interpret your dream. And so that's the encouragement, I think, here, even as we look at this. Joseph walked with God everywhere that he went. And so we need to too. And let me encourage you, you know what? One of the ways that we stand out is when we have a bad day and we lose it. Are we any different? When we say something that we shouldn't say and we recognize it, that is the moment that we have an opportunity to say, are you going to follow Jesus and be humble? Or are you going to be like everybody else and point the finger, well, they did this and they made me mad and I shouldn't have done that. I mean, that's another thing I hear in the workplace all the time. It's never anybody's fault. And so if you start saying, you know what, that was me, I am sorry, you will shine like a light in your workplace, taking responsibility for what you've done, owning your flaws, humbling yourself enough to say, you know what, I was wrong, and I am really sorry. And you're not doing that to be a public spectacle. You do that in a way that is humble and you honor the Lord in your relationships. And so Joseph is that example to us. He lives it out. He shows us here. And so let's pick up on the story. What are the dreams? And you probably know this. Verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told him his dream to Joseph, and he said to them, in my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. And as soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it's well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh and to get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should have put me into the pit. And so Joseph obediently and faithfully tells the cupbearer what the dream means. It's good news, isn't it? And so the other guy, the baker, is like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to tell you my dream. You know, like get the, this is life things going on, right? You know, maybe he wouldn't have said it, I mean, there's a lot of things we don't know, and it really doesn't matter. But what we do know is Joseph communicated him and just, well, I mean, this is God. God is at work here. That's the whole point. God is at work in the midst of a people group that are, they didn't serve the living God. They served many gods. Egypt was polytheistic. They thought there was a God for everyone and everything. And so God moved Joseph into a place to say, you know, there was one living, true God. Verse 16, so the chief baker saw the interpretation was favorable, and he said to Joseph, I also had a dream, and there were three cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. You wonder what was said next. We don't know, but I can guarantee the mood in that cell changed drastically, didn't it? Two different people, opposite stories, opposite interpretations. But the question here always is, what is God doing? What is God up to? Because God is always present. God is always at work. God is always doing things. And so one of the phrases here is, on the third day. You ever hear that phrase before in the Bible? What are some examples of ways that we've heard that in the Bible? On the cross, okay, you're getting your way down here. That you're absolutely right. What's that? Jonah, absolutely. When was he spit on up on the beach? The third day. Absolutely. How about another one? There's more than one more, but I'll give you one more. It was in your reading this last month, beginning of Genesis. I give up. All right, let me call a friend. The other one, or another one, would be when Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Had the two servants, and they went 3 more days further with his son. And when was the day? On the third day is when God said, hey, there's a ram in the thicket. And so this idea of the third day is a theme through the Bible. And you're right. It is. You know, we know it for when Jesus rose from the grave, when he walked out. And so look in verse 20. See what happens. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among the servants, and he restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And so what's going on here? Where is Jesus in the story? I think you're probably seeing what I'm talking about. The baker was hung and executed. Who else do we know that was hung and executed on a cross? Jesus, absolutely. And so the other side of this is the cupbearer, you know, what do you put in a cup? Drinks, of course, wine, whatever they were drinking. And so what do we know about Jesus and cups? What do we know through the whole Old Testament? There is only forgiveness of sin because of the shedding of blood. And so where is Jesus in the story? Flip over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of all of it. Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so we see the perspective here. What is God? And again, I'm sure they didn't see this on the front end, but when we look back, we can see what God was doing. God was helping us see that there is forgiveness. Not in ourselves, there's forgiveness in him. And so the baker dies. The analogy is Jesus too. His body was broken. His body was killed. It became lifeless, hanging on a cross, just like the baker in the story. But we see the other side, the cupbearer. He gets to live. He goes back to the palace. He continues doing his job. And again, the picture here is that because of the giving of blood, there is eternal life. That's the picture. Jesus' blood offers life. It's the only way. There's no other option. Turn back to Mark chapter 14. We're going to read all of them. Mark 14, 22. And as they were eating, he took bread. After blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." So there's two more references we're going to read in a few moments, but Jesus makes the analogy for us. It was written 1,000 years earlier in Joseph's story. And see, it's really the whole message of the Bible. The Bible was written by God, and it's all one message, that redemption came through the seed of the woman. Remember Genesis 3:15? That was the promise. Through the seed of the woman will be the Messiah. Forgiveness of sin has always been by a sacrifice outside of yourself. Through the Old Testament, it was a lamb or a bull or a pigeon if you were poor. And the imagery was, as the sacrifice was made, the priest would put his hands on the animal, symbolic of, we're transferring your sin onto the animal. And it would be killed, and it would be sacrificed. But we know, no amount of animals can make your sins go away. And so that's why the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, would have to come. He would have to shed his blood, because it would only be through human blood that could make your heart right, that could restore that relationship. all these Old Testament sacrifices were pointing forward. This isn't good enough. That's why we have to do it the next year and the next year and the next day and the next day. Why do you think they had to keep doing it over and over? Because it was enough for them right then, but it was pointing forward to Jesus Christ, who once and for all, and what he said it on the cross. What did he say? What were the three words? It is finished. The Father is satisfied. And he gave up his breath. He literally died, because that's what sin requires. That's what sin requires. So turn over to Luke 24. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 14. Let me read through here. Some of you might be saying, Steve, why are you reading it a third time? Because God is emphasizing, this is what it's about. Matthew, Mark, and Luke both have it in their gospel. John doesn't put it in because he adds something else in there. But then Paul records it in 1 Corinthians as well, four times. And so it's a reminder to us. Luke 22, 14. And when the hour had came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with them. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup has been poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood. And so you were right in having the order of the songs here. I just realized that. We're going to do the bread first. And we had some of you are like, what are you talking about? I was very emphatic. We need to do the cup first. And here Jesus did it the opera. It doesn't matter. We're getting off. And so we want to remind ourselves. We celebrate the Lord's table not to gain God's forgiveness. This is for you as a believer. It's symbols. Stuff that this does not turn into Jesus' body. It doesn't turn into his blood. They're symbols. They're reminders. And so that's why the important thing here this morning is your relationship with God. If you're here this morning and you have faith and you're trusting in Jesus Christ, this is for you. This is for you to be reminded, to be remember what he's done. And so we're going to do that. We're going to pass the bread out here, and we're going to sing this song as we do that. I know this is a little bit different than what we normally do. And so allow the time to sing to the Lord. Allow the time to examine your heart. And again, we're not in a hurry here, but we're gonna partake together. And so we're gonna pass these out, and we're gonna sing this song, and then someone's gonna pray, and then we'll go from there. Okay.